Blog Talk Radio.
Sherry, are you there?
Yes, I'm sitting here. Do we have all of our guests ready to go?
We do. Well, we have one calling in right now. Hold on just one moment.
That was a short intro. I wasn't expecting it to be so short.
All right, here we go. We're going to get them online. Caller, who do we have here?
This is Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
All right. Hey, Jackie. You've got Alicia and Sherry on. Today on Blog Talk Radio with United Voices, we're going to talk about a pretty serious matter. That's cannabis, that's kratom, and the things that cannabis and kratom treat. You know, we have an opioid epidemic in this country, a heroin epidemic. People are dying left and right. I'm going to let you introduce yourself, Jackie, and why don't you speak to the people a little bit about kratom.
Sure. My name's Jackie. I own three brick-and-mortar urban tea shops that specialize in kratom. And kratom is an herb from Southeast Asia related to coffee. It's caffeine-free. It's adaptogenic, so it works different in everyone. But it is analgesic. All of the strains are analgesic. But different strains have different stimulant properties. And all kratom is a stimulant in small doses and a sedative in large. So that's pretty much the gist of that.
Well, what we know is that kratom is used by individuals who have conditions of addiction oftentimes, and it is great to use for allowing the body to detox and the treatment of the detox and the conditions that can come from, example, if say you're an alcoholic or a cocaine addict or say it's heroin or it's an opioid. These conditions create in the body an addiction, and when you try to stop taking the drug, you go through a process that can be pre-harrowing for some folks. In fact, it can be lethal. And oftentimes people have to be placed into a hospital setting so that they can treat the detox symptoms. Why don't you speak a little bit about the detox symptoms of these addictions and how kratom can help those folks?
Sure. So it's been used for, we don't even know how long, thousands of years, at least hundreds, in the Indochina areas where it grows naturally. And it grows, I would say, as north as India and as south as the lower tips of Africa, but typically Indonesia and that type of area. So maybe about 80 years ago, they tried to ban it, or they did ban it in a couple of countries that it grows normally in, and it because it was interfering with their opium trade because people were using it to get off opium. And so ever since then, they've been doing a lot of research on it and its ability to help people and addiction with opiates. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a business owner and a mother, so I can't really speak scientifically. But I can tell you the things that I know about it, and then I can tell you the things that I experience through people in business. Kratom seems to help people not want their opiates anymore, and that includes sugar and wheat. I've noticed some people even tend to get healthier after they start taking kratom. It seems to do something to your opiate receptors similar to some of the things they have for a prescription that help people get off opiates already, but without the addictive quality. I'm not really sure the words they use, so I don't want to misspeak. But opiates either do like an antagonism or an agonism, something like that, and then kratom does the other, and one creates severe addiction and then the other kind of blocks the addiction. And so that's what finding in the research as they're doing it in the last 75 to 80 years, that it's blocking people's addictions. So what I've recognized is there's definitely a small portion of people that struggle with a really severe addiction, and usually those are people that have the heaviest opiate use before they try kratom. And a lot of times those are also people that have money readily available to continue buying whichever they choose. So I've noticed a lot of people, if they're working off of free insurance and then their doctor takes all their scripts from underneath them overnight, which happens often, thank you medical system, then they typically will not go back because kratom is a more obvious choice in that circumstance. But it seems like, on average, people will use more dose in the beginning when they're coming off the opiate, while they're weaning, possibly, depending on the scenario. Some people are cold turkey, some people wean. And that over time, relatively short, maybe 6 weeks to 6 months, they start to reduce their intake of kratom. And then it levels out to typically something similar to coffee.
In my research, I have not been able to find anyone that has died due to kratom intake or kratom intake. What I have found, though, is where the problems have come in is when kratom was mixed with a prescription medication called Tramadol. And
that one seems to be.
Yes, that's where the problems come in. So, folks, I know we just had a phone call in. I'm thinking I know who that caller. Yes, is this James on the line?
This is me. How are you?
We're doing
fine. We actually had two callers.
Oh, we had two callers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, James, we have Jackie on the line. She is our kratom expert. We have Alicia and myself as the co-host of the show, and I'd like to introduce James Messner of One Plant. He is an activist for cannabis. So on this show today, folks, we're going to bring you some information about two plants that the federal government has decided in areas needs to be illegal so that you don't have access to a safe plant that grows from the ground to treat a symptom, to treat a disease, to treat a condition. We wanted to introduce to anyone who wasn't aware of the uses of cannabis and the uses of kratom, what you can do instead of taking prescription medications or taking addictive medications that the federal government and your medical doctor will place upon you. So now let me bring James on real quick, and then we'll get back to Jackie. We'll get back to the question of kratom and Tramadol.
Hey, let's see. We've got another caller on the line. Who else do we have on here with us?
Kira? Okay.
Somebody out there, speak up.
Yeah, if
you hear me?
Caller, if you're on the line, yes, please introduce yourself. And if you have a question of the panelists, James Messner and Jackie of Florida, who is a kratom business owner, please go ahead. I wasn't expecting you, but please ask your question. Okay. Well, if there's any questions of any live callers that call into the show, just let us know, and we'll give you an opportunity to ask your question of the experts, and we'll get that question answered. So let me at this point bring James on. James, we just introduced the plant kratom, and it was an explanation of just simply what the plant is and some of the things that it can do. Both me and you are cannabis experts, and we're well aware of the effect of how cannabis can be used in the medical environment to treat a multitude of symptoms and problems. And in this case, right now in this country, as we're all aware, we have an opioid epidemic, and the heroin epidemic with the fentanyl and any of the things that it's cut with, we are losing good people left and right because they cannot have access to pain prescription pills anymore. They're left to make a bad choice, which is heroin. And then how do they find themselves coming off of heroin when they cannot, because to go into a treatment program for 30 days is an average of $28,000 a month, and people without insurance can't pay. So you have an option of going to jail and going cold turkey. What options can you speak to the folks out in America here about cannabis?
Well, yeah, cannabis is an amazing option. Real quick, though, I would like to speak on kratom. I mean, I call it kratom, but it's an amazing plant, too, as well. You know, I actually opened my eyes to it recently, and I've used it over the last year, and it's helped me quite a bit, and I still use it occasionally. But a spoonful of the super green kratom is really great. And like she said, after a while, I was using it a lot to begin with because my pain levels were so high. But I tapered off, and then I quit completely. And then recently, I just now every maybe twice a week, I might take a half a spoonful in the morning when I feel like I need it. And it's really great. And like you said, it's never caused any deaths in recorded history, obviously, because there is no record of it. But, you know, that is a great option. And the fact that they want to take a tea tree leaf and put it on the Schedule One list of drugs is ridiculous. But, yeah, cannabis, back to cannabis. It's, that's what, you know, started me on my journey is the fact that cannabis can heal, especially opiate addiction. We've seen that in studies. I mean, a University of Georgia professor actually, University of Georgia, he's a professor, I believe. But he did a study recently, and he determined that the U.S. government saved in Medicaid expenses over $250 million. And he said that if the entire country was legalized, it would have been $1 billion. And that was a few years ago. So, I mean, and that's just on opiate prescriptions and prescribing rates. So obviously, you know, it's there. And the fact that the federal government still says it's illegal and has no medicinal benefit is ridiculous.
Well, that's exactly why they say it. We know who runs the federal government. That's why they tried to ban kratom in 2016.
Now, there are certain states that allow the use of kratom.
It's pretty awesome that the whole Kratom Association and everybody stood up and stood together, and that's what, you know, the people in cannabis need to do is we need to stand united, because you've seen these laws that are enacted in states like Alabama and states like Georgia, and they're great, you know, they're real cool, they help, you know, legislators get, you know, votes, and they do this and they do that, but I mean, where are we at 3-4 years later? Are we any closer to getting anything? I love Lenny's law, and I love Lenny and I know her mom, but we need to have something more. This is not working, you know, it's not.
In the state of Alabama, we have Carly's law. Carly is a little girl born with a genetic disorder. Her parents are some fine folks out of Mountain Brook, Alabama. Her father is a police officer. And when they went public here in the state of Alabama to fight for Carly's Law, which was a CBD oil, unfortunately the oil is not to contain any of the THC. And folks, what THC is half of the plant. CBD, which is what you're normally using.
It's about 1/100th of a plant, because there's 100 cannabinoids.
Well, that's true. Well, what I meant by half, let me explain. When you take CBD oil, it does treat everything except decapitation. But short of that, the use of THC, which is the ingredient in cannabis that causes the high that you have heard speak of, the THC in cahoots with CBD creates much more of a possibility of healing in treating conditions. Some conditions can't receive a therapeutic value from just CBD oil. It has to have the kicker, which is THC. Oftentimes those are related to seizure disorders, pain disorders. In fact, folks' mental health issues can be treated with cannabis, and the THC aspect is needed.
Right. Some autistic children need both CBD and THC, or surprisingly, the CBD will have an adverse reaction and make them aggressive. I've learned
correct.
That.
Honestly,
yeah.
What it really boils down to is the THC is the key. It's the key. It doesn't matter if it's only 0.1%, and some patients will respond very well to that, or if it's 15 to 20 or 30% that for pain patients and cancer patients that need it more, it's the key that unlocks the door to all the other cannabinoids that will the body can benefit
the
from.
Whole plant.
Lets it,
the
lets
whole
them
plant.
All – you have to have that whole synergistic effect. Every one of them have to come
right.
together.
Kratom is exactly the same way, and I stand for the whole plant. And unregulated, I wish cannabis was totally legal and unregulated also, because then you can grow it at home and juice it, and then it'd be the most healthy.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, our government doesn't want that.
Years, we wouldn't have problems.
Exactly. Our mangoes would have THC in it. So, anyways.
Well, one of the aspects of this cannabis and the Kratom, I am not currently aware of a system built into the human body that is available for Kratom. But folks, what
it's
I
the
can
opioid
tell you,
system.
Okay, so it
well,
is the opioid
it's,
system.
It's not an opiate. It does it doesn't
it
hit the opiate
receptors.
Receptors the same way as the opiates. The opiates are things that aren't typically processed by our human body. What it does is it blocks the opiate receptors, which also tell us when we have pain, so that we don't have pain. I don't really know. I'm not a scientist. I've just read it a few times so that I understand it. And
right.
And I know that it works similarly on the opiate receptors to cannabis, which
right.
is why
right.
some people can use either plant to come off or relieve themselves of whatever their prescription is.
And if you use them together, it's even better. That's what I did, and it helped me.
I can't recommend that in Florida, but I agree with having access to the whole plant of cannabis. I wish our federal government would decriminalize it, that's for sure.
Well, I'm in Georgia, and we've got worse laws here. And you know what I say? Prohibition doesn't work.
Yeah, well, don't worry. If they banned Kratom, I would have been bathing in Kratom tea in the street.
Well, one of the things that we do know medically is that inside and within the human body from birth, from creation, from the beginning of the egg and the zygote in your mama's body, your body and systems was created with the endocannabinoid system. That system
yep.
has not been recognized in medical literature until recently. And I believe that the reason why that they did not want to educate the doctors that they were educating in their colleges with their Rockefeller Foundation books and manuals is that they did not want people to know and understand that they have criminalized a plant, cannabis, that the Lord God created the human body for, considering that he created within the human body the endocannabinoid system that works hand-in-hand with cannabis. And folks,
mm-hmm.
this is going to blow your mind. When a woman is pregnant and she gives birth to the child and she starts creating the breast milk, the woman naturally within the breast milk creates cannabinoids. The body
mm-hmm.
is able to create its own cannabinoids. So what I am basically saying to those that may not understand science is that as much as the eyeball and the ear and the nose and the mouth is part of the human body, there is a system built within, sort of like within our immune system and just a whole part of the body. We have a system that can only be unlocked with cannabis ingestion. We have always, since the beginning of time, been meant to have cannabis. That is why in the Bible, when they spoke of Jesus and the oil that he used to go out and heal the people, the seed of renown, in fact. I believe that. Is it Ezekiel? I'm not certain. But the seed that is spoken about in the Bible is, in fact, cannabis. So when your doctor or your judges or your police officers and your politicians look you in the face and say that your child that has a horrific medical condition that honestly cannot be treated with drugs because it just exasperates the problem for the child or for the parent or for the person involved, and here we have a plant that you can literally grow from the ground in your front yard with some sunshine and water, and to take that plant that was meant for your body that the Lord Jesus Christ put together, and that you now can't have it because we prefer that you purchase this medication from CVS and Walgreens as opposed to the plant that the Lord Jesus put on the planet, then what we have is a situation where our kids and our adults, our people are dying. They are not given access to something that God said you could have. And in fact, God meant for you to have since he built within the human body the endocannabinoid system. So,
you know what it's called? It's called the tree of life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the tree of life. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Can you get all the nutrients that you need from plants and phytonutrients? Yeah, you can. You can get all that you need. Can you replicate those nutrients and sell them back to you on a mass scale? Yeah, you can do that too. But can you replicate the 100 different phytocannabinoids nutrients that are replicated in the cannabis plant? No, you can't. Why do you think
they
made it illegal in the first place?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly why they want to ban kratom. They can't.
You can live on forever.
Yep. They can't copy the same alkaloids that are in kratom and make it safe.
It has various phytocannabinoids, just like chocolate, just like other things, pepper, black pepper, other things. They do have phytocannabinoids. Nutrients in plants are they do act on those receptors. You can lower your blood pressure with celery juice, but, I mean, are we mass-producing celery juice? It would be
no. You can, if you have diabetes, take cannabis. Cannabis creates in the body the sugar problem that diabetes is all about, folks, in your pancreas. There is a sugar imbalance.
Yeah, it helps
Did
you regulate.
You know that you can take cannabis and that it will regulate your sugar, and now you're not a diabetic anymore.
Kratom regulates sugar, too, and almost 100% of opioid addiction comes from sugar/grains, pretty much because we're born into a really crappy food system that adds sugar to all of our food, and we don't know, and then there's glyphosate on it all, and glyphosate is a synthetic glycine and all of that. So, anyways, the kratom and the cannabis and a lot of the herbs that we sell, they control your sugar, and that's part of the reason why kratom works for people. They take it. They take it in larger amount. They're weaning. Me, I wasn't ever weaning when I started, so I just always kind of used it like coffee. But if you're in an extreme scenario, it works in a therapeutic dose, and then they wean themselves. I'm sorry?
What kind of dose do you normally use? Just because I get a lot of questions and how much should I use and what should I use, but like for me personally, I just take like a little spoonful, maybe a teaspoon, and maybe even a half sometimes, depending on what I'm feeling like in the morning. And I swallow it down with my coffee. And it's not very pleasant, but hey, it's not bad. You get used to it.
I prefer the toss and wash method if I'm using it for chronic pain. I do like tea as well. I happen to make pleasant tea, so most people make really horrible, horrific tasting kratom tea. But mine is pretty pleasant, but I use roughly a half a teaspoon, and that is typically the average dose or therapeutic dose of any herb. So that is a totally normal dose for any organic whole herb.
And, you know, back like a year ago, I'm proud to say I've been off of complete VA care and completely pharma free for 2 years, and I don't even take a leave. I used to take a leave every day, and it's attributed totally to kratom and then and cannabis. you know, first and foremost. But but a year ago, I was taking it a lot more. I would take a couple of teaspoons a day, but I tapered it off and then totally quit. And just recently, I started using it just a little bit here and there, a couple times a week.
Yeah,
it's great. You know, it helps me a lot with my back pain. I have horrible back pain, so.
Right. Where cannabis doesn't work on some pains, kratom always hits the nail on the head. And where the two of them might not for some people, you can always throw that kava in there. So, very nice herb that kava mixes well with those two as well.
Well, you know, I wanted to, you know, bring up the point we were talking about that, you know, this horrible injustice that we have of marijuana being illegal and in most places in the United States. But, you know, something that is noteworthy for some people that may not know this is that the marijuana is Schedule 1, which means that it has no medicinal use. Well, I don't know if you guys are aware. I think a lot of people are that are familiar with this issue, but the U.S. government holds a patent for marijuana as a medicinal plant.
Hey,
right. So that's actually what happened in September 2016 with kratom. The government, the DEA, issued a letter of intent to ban using emergency scheduling, which was unheard of because they had not used it, I think, since Spice or something. And they had not ever used it on a plant, though. And within the 30 days, everyone proved that they had patents or there were pharmaceutical companies associated with patents on kratom, too. It's the same idea.
And the U.S. government has official studies that have been completed recently, especially with CBD and epilepsy by GW Pharmaceuticals here in the United States, that have conclusive evidence that shows that they have proven that CBD reduces seizures. So the plant has medicinal value.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's government study, period.
Yeah. And I know here in Alabama, they've outlawed kratom. Because I was one of the ones that, you know, sent in and sent a study from the British Medical Journal showing, you know, of these 9 deaths that they were saying were contributed to kratom were actually
they had tramadol.
So it's crazy.
It was a spiked kratom bag, apparently. There was a brand that was lacing it with tramadol.
The politician here in Alabama that pushed that bill, folks, he also coincidentally owns a treatment and addiction program. So it was in his best interest in the state of Alabama to push a bill that outlawed kratom, which can treat drug addiction and opioids, alcoholism, all of these things that kratom can help you with. It was in his best interest financially to push a bill in Montgomery and get it passed. So that they outlawed something that he could lose business to. So as we've just stated, it was tramadol and not. I think we're the most corrupt state. I'm saying Washington D.C. And I say, well, I don't
pretty
know.
Cool.
Had you been to Alabama before you say Washington D.C.?
Georgia's pretty corrupt, but they got a lot of citizens trying to keep them in check. But Alabama, there's nobody fucking keeping them in check.
No, Alabama, this is the wild, wild west over here, folks. So we don't play. We're very serious about our corruption. And it comes down to, like in this state, this is a politician who's afraid he's going to lose business. In Georgia, we have a major research hospital there at Emory and Children's Hospital of Atlanta. They're not going to be interested, considering the billions of dollars that are used in research programs for drugs and vaccines. They're not going to be interested in allowing kratom and cannabis to be used in a state because they're trying to make their money with pills and vaccines. So it's a medical situation that it comes down to, let's say, the treatment of cancer. Everyone has heard that cannabis can be used to kill a cancer cell. But did you know that kratom can be used also to treat cancer? Jackie, why don't you tell the folks what kratom can do for the human body in effect treat cancers?
So I'm